Emmanuel, God with us, came at this time that we celebrate. Isn't that wonderful news? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that He came. The story that you've looked at, we talked so much about Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels and the meaning of Christmas and the reason for the season. We talk about all those things, and this morning we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where just a few days after the birth of Jesus Christ, Mary and Joseph bump into an elderly man who prophesies about the Messiah. There's a lot of babies that have been born even recently among our fellowship, and I'm always amazed at how they draw a crowd. And you moms that have little ones, you know what I'm talking about, that first time back in church or second time, or maybe when somebody sees that little one for the first time, there's that little infant and the crowd just draws around. Everybody wants to see and coo and look and talk about that child. And Jesus was like that, but in a different sense, in that we don't usually have a lot of total strangers show up to look at our little ones. But because Jesus Christ was born as the Son of God and came into the world, the incarnate Son of God, God in the flesh, God proclaimed to shepherds who came in strangers to find the Messiah. And God proclaimed to wise men who came as strangers to come and see the Christ child. And then when they went into the temple today, in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and following, people that they maybe had never met came over and proclaimed that this was indeed the Christ. Luke chapter 2 this morning, beginning in verses 25 and reading through 35. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelations to the Gentiles and your glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, that your thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the wonderful message and story and gospel that comes through Jesus Christ today in a manger, consecrated in the temple, in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of what happened right after Jesus' birth was that he went to the temple with his parents to be circumcised on the eighth day, and they named him Jesus. That was common. Today, we usually put the name of the child in the hospital. Back then, they would name the child when they circumcised the boy child or the girl child similarly, except without the circumcision. So they would wait a few days. And so John the Baptist was at 8 days named John, and Jesus was named Jesus after 8 days when he was circumcised. Well, a few weeks later, as the law would have it, then the family would travel to the temple. In this case, Joseph and Mary went from Bethlehem over to Jerusalem to go to the temple. And while they were there, Mary would consecrate the baby as was required in the law. And Mary then would be purified again as required in the law. The visit to the temple was for purification. Leviticus chapter 12 specified that. It said that after a male child, the firstborn, was born, that child should be offered up to the service of the Lord with an offering or a sacrifice. The law specified a lamb, which then would cost about $2, and probably today around $50. But for those who couldn't afford a lamb, there was a concession. They could give two young pigeons or a turtle dove. And so Mary and Joseph went to the temple, the verse tells us in verse 24, to sacrifice, according to the law of the Lord, two turtle doves or two young pigeons. They did that because they were poor. But also they did that because they were devout followers of the law. This young boy and young lady from Nazareth, who lived in Nazareth, had to travel to Bethlehem for the census, were followers of the law, and so they named the child as they were supposed to at circumcision, and then went to the temple to make the sacrifice for the child's consecration. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate every firstborn male to me, the firstborn of every womb among the Israelites, both man and animal, it is mine." The firstborn child was at the temple, and the firstborn animal was a sacrifice. And so Mary and Joseph, young but yet obedient to the law, went to the temple to follow what they were supposed to do. Numbers 18, verse 16 says, "You'll pay the redemption price for a month-old male according to your valuation, 5 shekels of silver by the standard sanctuary shekel." And the going rate today, that'd be about $1.35. So they would go to the temple and they would consecrate that firstborn son, offer him back in service to God, just like Hannah took Samuel to the temple 1,000 years earlier plus, dedicated him at the temple. Joseph and Mary took Jesus. And the passage says a lot about three parties, talks a lot about Joseph and Mary and what they did. The passage talks about the baby Jesus, and the passage talks about Simeon. So what can we learn about these three groups as we look at this passage? Number one, the parents. Jesus was born into a poor family. It's clear because of the sacrifice they made that they gave what the poor would give, not what the wealthy would give. And some would say, but all that gold and frankincense and myrrh had great value, but that hasn't come yet. You see, Joseph and Mary were in Nazareth when they found out that Mary was going to have a baby, and initially they were upset by that, and Joseph, being a righteous man, decided to put her away privately, to divorce her, because he was righteous, because he assumed that she was immoral. An angel came and told him that was not the case. And so they then continued on their journey to be married, and they were. And then because of the census, they had to travel to Bethlehem, which is where their ancestors were from. And so while they were living in Bethlehem, or while they were there, Mary had a little baby, and it was Jesus was born in the manger because there was no place for them to stay. And then a few days later, as the time to go to the temple, several weeks later, they went over to Jerusalem, about a 5-mile journey. And while they were there in Jerusalem, they made the sacrifices that were required, and then they went back to Bethlehem. It looks like when you read the Bible and put all the passages together, both in Matthew and Luke, that Mary and Joseph stayed in Bethlehem for a couple of years, because 2 years later, roughly, the wise men show up bringing these gifts, and they were talking to Herod about where the baby was, this great king, and Herod wanted to find him. And so Herod said, well, the wise men, when you find him, then you come back and tell me where he is so I can worship him too. So the wise men found Mary and Joseph, likely there in Bethlehem, and gave them those gifts, and then the angel told them to go a different way. That night, because Herod's going to be pretty ticked off when the wise men don't come back and tell him, that night the angel tells Joseph to flee to Egypt, and so he takes Mary and the little baby Jesus and runs off to Egypt. That trip funded by the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, probably that came from those wise men. But when we see them in this passage, they are poor, don't have that much money, working daily to get by. Jesus was born into a family, Joseph and Mary, that kept the law. It was important to them. And you see Jesus, who was born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. It's interesting in the passage as well that Simeon comes up to talk to them, and it says the mother and father were amazed at what was being said. Now, some people say, well, that shouldn't be in there, the father, that Joseph was Jesus' father, because he wasn't. And so actually, if you have a King James Bible, those that interpreted the King James were kind of concerned about that. They actually wrote Joseph and his mother were in there. But the Greek says the father and the mother. And so Joseph was the father of Jesus, not because he sired him, but he was the father because he was Mary's husband, and so no problem there. But the father and mother were marveled at what Simeon said. Why is that? Were they surprised that Simeon said the things he says? I don't think so. Joseph and Mary heard from the shepherds about the angels coming and proclaiming what would happen. They heard from the angels who told them what was going to happen. They heard all along from Elizabeth as she had John the Baptist, and they went there and the baby left in her womb. And so Joseph and Mary are accustomed to the marvelous, amazing nature of the child that they are bearing. But for them to go to the temple and have a complete stranger walk up, an old priest who can probably barely see anymore, and to announce these things amazed them, because it just already solidified in their heart what they knew was true, that this child, this Jesus, was very special, was unique, was the Messiah come to save mankind. And so when they went to the temple, they weren't amazed because they weren't expecting that anybody else would know this. But here's a complete stranger that God revealed the same message that He revealed to them to encourage them. They had an awareness of the Lord and who He was and what was happening. But Simeon is right on in what he says, and that would amaze them. One of the lessons we can learn from the parents of Jesus is that any person from any walk of life can be greatly used of God by being obedient to what God reveals. Mary and Joseph had some pretty troubling decisions to make. But God, through an angel, led them all along the way and told them what to do and how to react and how to address the circumstances they were in. Any person from any walk of life can be greatly used of God by being obedient to what God reveals. What about the temple priest? They go there and they enter into the temple. And Simeon is guided by the Spirit up to find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And when he gets up there, he immediately takes the child up into his arms and praises God. The word there in the Greek for taken up in the arm is agkalos, and it means the inner curve or the inner arm. And it probably is telling us that Simeon didn't just take this baby and kind of look at it, but he embraced this child and pulled him tightly to himself, wrapping both of his arms around and snuggling up close to the baby, and probably with tears pouring out of his eyes as he realized that he was holding the promised Messiah from 400 years of silence that God has now smiled on His people. And Simeon embraces this agkalos in the inner folds of his arm and hugs this child tightly and says, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace. I've seen the Messiah." The Bible says a lot about Simeon. It says that he was devout. It says that he was righteous. It says that he was guided by the Spirit. And we learn that Simeon was patient. The Bible says that he was a devout and righteous servant. It's interesting that both of those words would be used. Righteous is pretty simple. It's dikaios all over the New Testament. It means righteous and it means right, means saved by God. And so throughout the Bible, those who are saved are referred to as the righteous. And so Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says there are none righteous. There are none dikaios, no, not one. Yet Romans 5:19 says because of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of one, many will be made righteous, dikaios. And so Simeon was a righteous man. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. He was loved by God. He was a righteous man. It also says here that he was devout. The word there is eulabane. You is good, like eulogy or euphemism, a good way to say something. So you and labane is to take. And so what it means is not only was Simeon righteous, but he was one who took hold of good, who pursued good, who grasped good. That's what devout means. It means he wasn't just righteous like he was saved and good, made righteous by God, but he pursued good. It was important to him and he grasped a hold of it whenever he could. That was Simeon. The Bible also tells us in several occasions in the passage that he was guided by the Spirit. When the parents brought Jesus into the temple, Simeon took him up in his arms, and his father and mother were amazed. Verse 27 says he was guided by the Spirit when he came in. Guided by the Spirit because he was righteous, because he was devout, because he pursued good. The Spirit of God rested on him and guided him into the temple. We also learn from the passage that Simeon was patient. Simeon was very, very old. Matter of fact, Anna comes up in a couple more verses, just down a few more verses, and talks about how old she was waiting for the Messiah as well. And Simeon was very, very old and had waited for many, many years to see the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit promised him that he would see the Messiah. And oh, how he must have longed and waited for that to happen. The patience that he must have had. Much like Abraham, who was told he would have a son, and year after year after year went by. And how tempting it would be to be discouraged. And how tempting for Simeon to be despair and say, I'm so old, I probably won't live much longer. I've waited for so long and God's been silent for 400 years. I'll never see this. And it would have been so easy to lose hope. But Simeon held on and, guided by the Spirit, came in and found his ultimate dream. Realized that of seeing the Savior, of seeing the Messiah. patiently waiting for all those years? How often in our lives would God have us to be patient for that which He promises? How easy would it be for us to long for something, to pray for something, to hope for something, to wish for something that we know would honor God, that would glorify God, and for God to wait and say another year, another year, and how easy it would be to be discouraged. But like Simeon, we should be patient for God's promises, even when we don't see them as fast as we would like. A lesson from the life of Simeon would be that the righteous who love and pursue good will be led by the Spirit patiently to see God. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. And lastly, the feature of our story on Christmas, the Christ child, the one who is being praised, the one who's being worshipped, the one where everybody would gather around and coo over Him, Jesus Christ. What do we learn of Him? Simeon took Him up in his arms and says, Master, now You can dismiss Your slave in peace, because my eyes have seen Your salvation. Simeon embraced Jesus and knew that he had seen the salvation of God. He magnifies the sovereign God. The word there for Master in verse 29 is despotes, from where we get our word despot. And so Simeon looks up and says, Master, he's talking to God. He's saying, Father, the sovereign Lord of the universe, the one who rules all things. Despotes is one who has legal control or authority over other persons, such as subjects or lord or a slave or a master. In the New Testament, it only refers to two people. In the New Testament, despotes either refers to God, God Himself, the God Almighty, or refers to masters who had slaves, those who were owned by them and were absolutely subject to everything that they would say. And here Simeon looks up and says, Master, Lord, ruler of my life, ruler of the universe, thank You. Now You can dismiss me in peace, because I have seen Your salvation. So we learn several things about Jesus. We learn about the praise that Simeon gives Him, and we learn about the prophecy of what is yet to come. Simeon says he's seen salvation. In Jesus Christ, the baby in His arms, he's seen salvation. And the truth is, if you've heard the gospel, if you've heard of Jesus, if you've seen Him with your eyes, if the darkness that Satan uses to blind those who don't believe has been removed from your eyes, you have seen Him as well, and you have received and seen salvation too. Simeon said, when I held the Christ, when I see the Christ, I know that I'm seeing salvation. Simeon also says that salvation is in the presence of all peoples, a light for the Gentiles and a glory for Israel. This is one of the first glimpses right out loud in the temple, which will make a lot of people upset later on, but that Jesus came not just to save devout Jews, not just to save those who were temple worshipers and that came to the temple, but to save all who would believe. And Simeon says there's a light to the world coming here, a light to Gentiles, and God will allow Gentiles to come into the kingdom and also the glory of His people, Israel. Simeon said, praise to God, because in the presence of all His people and everyone in the world, Jesus has come into the world, into this presence to save Gentiles and to be a glory for Israel. Simeon praises Jesus, praises God in this way, and then he prophesies several things. He says to Mary, indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel. Tells Mary that this little baby that I'm holding, about 40 days old, is going to cause the rise and fall of many people in Israel. How is that going to happen? Because in the end, the response that one has to Jesus Christ ultimately is their rise or their fall. It's their rise up into a relationship with God to have life forever, eternal life in heaven. Or their response to Jesus, if it's no thank you, will cause the fall of that person to spend eternity in hell. There are those who would come up against Jesus Christ and they would hate Him and despise Him and they would fall. There are those who would love Him and serve Him and that would be their destiny, eternal life. They would be raised up with Christ. And Simeon knows that. He says this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many. Simeon also says that this is a sign that will be opposed. I suppose that these teenage parents were not anxious to understand of the difficulty that would come through this child they were carrying, that this Jesus, this little tiny gorgeous little baby wrapped in cloths, would be opposed by many. I'm supposing that Joseph and Mary could not imagine the level of opposition that Jesus would face. And Simeon told these parents that this child will be opposed by many, refused and rejected by those he came to save. And you and I know it's true. He is. Jesus is refused and rejected still today. And then Simeon tells Mary and Joseph, that he will reveal the thoughts of many hearts, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Your response to Jesus Christ reveals your heart. And Simeon told Mary that. Simeon said, a sword's going to pierce your own heart, and it's going to be really hard. There's going to be some really hard things that are happening that are going to happen. It's going to really break your heart. And that happens when Jesus, later on in his ministry, begins to be opposed by many. Imagine the sword that pierced into Mary's heart as that child of hers was rejected and scorned and crucified. And Simeon says, but he will reveal the hearts of men. Your response to Jesus Christ reveals your hearts. It was true then. It was true in the temple. It's been true ever since. Your response to Jesus reveals your heart. Your response and your approach to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe who came at Christmas time, reveals that you have a heart that's soft and tuned in to listen to God and to obey Him and to be a part of His kingdom. Or it reveals that you don't care, that you're apathetic, ultimately that you hate Him, which is means to love less. Simeon said, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart. I imagine that Simeon's tears of joy as he held the infant in his arms were replaced with that prophetic glimpse of the hardship and danger that was to come as Mary's heart would be broken, as the son that was so sweetly embraced now would be so hated in the days to come. The lesson from the child Jesus is that the child Jesus is amazing in every way. Jesus was prophesied to come, and He did. Jesus was prophesied in the temple in a surprise to Mary and Joseph. They were amazed to hear these things, but God sent Simeon to encourage them, to help them, to explain this, to show them, to encourage their hearts, to solidify what they already knew. Jesus is amazing in every way. Jesus is the sovereign Lord. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is present for all people. Jesus is a light for us. Jesus is the glory of God's chosen people, Israel. Jesus causes the rise and fall of many people. Jesus is the sign fulfilled and delivered. Jesus is rejected. Jesus reveals the hearts of men by a man's response to Him. Jesus is amazing in every way at His entrance into the world in which He created. So the question is, have you embraced this Savior? Jesus came as the Son of God to reveal the hearts of men, to be a light to Gentiles, to offer salvation to eyes that can see where the darkness is removed. Have you embraced this Savior? Has He caused your rising, or has He caused your falling? Has He caused your rising because you have embraced the Savior and committed to follow Him with your life and trusted in Him by faith for salvation through grace? Have you been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenlies because He's caused your rise? Or today, by your refusal to acknowledge Him, to submit to His Lordship, to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of your life, is He causing your fall? Jesus is the amazing Savior prophesied by Simeon in Luke chapter 2, who will pierce His mother's heart, but will reveal yours to you. And so the question is, what has been revealed to your heart? Is Jesus your amazing Savior? Or has He revealed something different to you today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise You because You sent Jesus to be among us, to save us, to redeem us, to reveal our hearts. And Father, I pray that today You would reveal to us that we are a lover of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, that He has risen us up and seated us to be with Him in the heavenlies. Father, I pray this morning if there were one that has not acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and amazing Savior of their life, they would do that even this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.